I'm not one of them pastors who preach against people who stay out on Sunday and watch the Super Bowl, but I'm kind of praying that their pizzas don't get delivered and their blue cheese and ranch is bad. Yeah, or, you know, just happens if a tree falls over on the power line. No, I'm just saying. I've been to church for so long, been in church for so long. I'm always on the air of this. I'd rather preach to the people who are there and preach against the people who didn't come. Amen. I mean, I ain't got a problem with, you know, sometimes you need to fire one across a bow, I reckon. But Acts chapter 4 is where we're going to be. I don't know if you remember this or not, but do y'all remember I did it maybe about 3 weeks ago, maybe four. So hopefully somebody will know right off the top of your head. I preached about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and a miracle in the Old Testament. Y'all remember? It was the breakdown of a miracle. Well, we're going to do the same thing in the New Testament. Acts chapter 4, breakdown of a miracle. I guess the title of this or the question would be, why do you want that miracle? Why do you want it? Amen? Now, I know it's obvious when we get into a situation where somebody's dying or somebody's sick or somebody's hurt or maybe you're dying or maybe something's going on, the first thing you think, God, I want a miracle because I want to live. Amen? Is that right? Listen, I'm preaching tonight and I'm teaching to a mature crowd. What I mean is somebody can handle me telling you the truth and you not go like, oh man, he's not saying I'm not going to get a miracle. I'm just telling you to look at it a little closer. Amen? Maybe God works in order and maybe he does stuff on purpose. Amen? Could that be it? Maybe he just don't randomly say, you know, you get a miracle and you don't. Maybe there's a purpose behind the miracle. And in Acts chapter 4 is a continuation of Acts chapter 3. There was a man who was laid by the gate, beautiful, daily. Remember? His family would bring him out there and lay him out before the Sabbath. And people would go by and he would beg. He was smart. Before you go into the tabernacle and on your way out, help me. You know what I mean? He was strategic in where he was at. But then we know Peter and John came down to the temple at the hour of prayer, and I preached this not long ago too. Hopefully you remember some of it, that when we first think that, we think, man, all right, Peter and John are going down to the temple at the hour of prayer. That's good. Not so. They're born-again Christians. They're going into hostile territory. They're going down to the temple to tell them that there is a better way. They're going down to the temple to say, hey, Jesus, what you're looking for in that temple died on the cross. And then on the way down there was a guy laying outside the gate, not by happenstance. Listen, a lot of your ministry or a lot of your life as a minister to this world will take place between A and B. Amen? Stop trying to get somewhere and worry about where you're at. There are people you need to minister to in between A location and B location. So many times as Christians, we're trying to get to church, and the church never gets to anybody. John and Peter said, listen, I wrote this down in the note the other day. The church came to the temple. The church was coming. That's how you need to look at it. You are the church. Stop telling everybody to go to a place when it's not a place, it's a people. Amen. Oh. It's all right to invite people to church. As a pastor, I kind of got to put that in there. But praise God, you are the church. And when you show up, the church showed up. Better be. Amen? And when the church showed up, they looked at him and seen the situation, remember? And they took him and he jumped up leaping. No rehab. Man, he walked in his whole life or for a very, very long time. And man, he was, do you know how fast? Listen, if you stop walking for 6 months, you won't be able to walk very well. This man hadn't walked in years, if ever. And that dude jumped up, leaped, and run into the temple. My favorite part of chapter 3, it says, after all of that, when they were in the temple, you know what it says? It said, and he clung to Peter and John. He clung to him. Oh my God, never mind. That's a whole nother message. But could you imagine that? You're well, praise God, you're well. You got a miracle. You got healed. You're running well. But you cling to the thing that got you there. Oh, never mind. That's a whole nother. You almost want to get there, right? But let's get into Mark chapter 4. Not Mark chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Everybody's like, oh, no. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. It's a continuation of the same story, okay? Let's look at it. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved. Got it? That they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now evening tide. Don't be surprised. Write this down. If you take notes, every miracle comes with other people's hearts are mad about it. Other people are not excited about your miracle. Don't be surprised when people want to do more harm to you because you got a miracle, not because you didn't. Okay, let me break it down this way. Jesus was, they finally made up their mind that they were going to put him on the cross when he raised Lazarus from the dead. That was the camel that broke the straw's back. They were like, that's it. You would have thought that would have been the reverse of it. You would have thought, okay, no brainer. He's raising people from the dead. Let's make him in charge of the church, not let's be the church against him. Okay? So don't be surprised. Peter took an opportunity, stood up and preached the gospel. Guess what? The religious leaders then turned their view on him because now they think he's the problem, but the problem hasn't changed. It's still Jesus. It's just Jesus in some people now. It's just God in people. It's not God with people. It's God in people. Amen, preacher. Being grieved. Now, verse 3, and they laid hands on them. Verse 4, howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about how many? 5,000. This man was healed. He needed a healing. He wasn't random. He needed a healing. Peter and John were faithful, and they were going to serve God regardless whether the man got healed or not. Amen? Other people were upset about it, but Jesus had a bigger purpose. He was going to take the healing of the man and multiply that into a gospel opportunity to save 5,000 people alive. If you're not going to, I hate to use this word, parlay. If you're not going to parlay your miracle into the gospel being reaching unto lost souls, then you might not get the miracle. Do you understand what I'm saying? God knows why you need the miracle. If the miracle is like, get me well where I can get back down to my job and I can keep on trucking on the way I've been trucking on without God or pretty much having God in the trunk, then you probably might not. I'm not sure, but I wouldn't give you the miracle either. Y'all mad at me? It ain't my business. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm looking at it the way I see it in the scriptures. How is a miracle going to be used? Amen? Because I like to, when I'm really hurting, let me break it down this way. When I really need a miracle, I make God some promises. But do I intend to keep them? God, I'm gonna listen, if you do this, then I'm gonna use. Are you? Really? Or you just want this situation to go by where you can go back to normal? God really knows that. He really knows that. He knows the purpose too, right? Let's look 5,000. Could you imagine? Wait. Are y'all ready? Can y'all handle being in the lab with me just a little bit? Let's just pretend like we're doing a study together, okay? Can y'all handle that? 5,000 people got saved, right? A man got healed, is that right? Let's just hold up, pump the brakes right here. Where are the people that were a part of it? Where are Peter and John at then? They're in prison. Are you ready for a miracle? Are you good? Man, things are good, but things are a little crazy now, ain't they? The man's healed. He's clinging to him. Hallelujah, running, praising God, shouting. Some people get mad. That's weird. Turn you over to the authorities. You're in prison. But then word comes at visitation. Hallelujah. Hear me. Hey, you ain't going to believe this, but 5,000 people, them people that looked like they were deer in headlights out there when you was preaching to them, they believed it. They got saved. The miracle didn't save them. The preaching saved them. I would love to go back and do the whole chapter 3. But what happened was Peter, through the miracle, seeing the miracle was happening, all of a sudden he looked around and he went, aha, everybody's here. I might as well preach. Amen? Now, are you deducting? Are you going back into? Now, listen, let's learn real quick. Go again. Watch. What did Peter do with the miracle? Golly, I wish. Think about this. Most of us, if I do a miracle, maybe next week I'm going to give me a TV show. Think about it. Most people would love to be like, oh man, look what power I had. And look what I did. We need to get a line out the door and charge $1 a pop. Man, we'll get them in here, right? Think about it. What Peter did, Peter looked around and said, wait a minute, all eyes are on us. It ain't about us. Let's present the gospel. God did this not to get us popular, not to show us how powerful we are. It's to show His glory. He did it for Himself to save all 5,000 people. They could have been talking about the miracle forever, and they might have been on some shows. They might have been in every temple and every synagogue there was. But instead, y'all stay with me, I'm preaching. They took the spotlight off themselves and turned it directly on Jesus again. I think he started the sermon, you think we did this in ourselves? We did not do any of this. It was the one whom you crucified. Spotlight Jesus. What are you going to do with a miracle? Are you going to get your fame out of it? Are you going to get your fortune? You're going to tell people, look what I did. Are you going to say, hey, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to be willing to get in trouble with it? Because you know what? Let's just go on the lowest scale there is. Say you get a miracle. You know what you're going to hear a lot of? Where's mine? Does God love you more than He loves me? Oh, what's your answer? Yeah. I don't know. Amen. What you got to say is, I think God works in all areas. Amen. But I believe He wanted to share a miracle because He knew that we were going to use it for His honor and His glory. Golly, can I preach to y'all? Can y'all handle some? Let's break it down even further. What if He don't give you the miracle? What if God's doing something else greater than the miracle of healing? What if He's trying to save somebody you don't even know that even existed in the midst of it? What if there's a nurse? What if there's a doctor? What if there's somebody that's coming into your family that don't know Christ? Huh? Oh, never mind. Whew. Hey, man. Maybe He's coming into your life through the storm without the miracle. Whew. That's a whole, man. I want to write that and go chase it down myself. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Ananias and the high priest of Caiaphas, the high priest and Caiaphas, and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked by what power or by what name they had done this. Do you see what God's doing now? They're bringing all the big enemies into one room to figure out what happened. Do you see God working in that? Golly, I wish I could preach to y'all all night like this. Think about this. God sets up your biggest enemy sometimes for you to share Jesus. Sometimes we get intimidated by other people and their titles and positions, and we're sitting here, we are literally children of the King of God. Children of God. And we're told, oh, that's the mayor. So what? Well, it's a sheriff right there. Well, that's a big guy. That guy's got more money than that. Who cares? You've got a treasure hidden in this earthen vessel that needs to get out. And you're not there by mistake. Why do you think you're doing this? What in what name are you doing this? Glad you ask. Amen? I'm glad you ask. Verse 8. Scares some people, but I like verse 8. Then Peter, filled with what? The Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people, the elders of Israel. Wow, an unlearned fisherman all of a sudden looks around the room again. He was standing in town. He's like, wait a minute. Looks like about 5,000 men here.
They're all looking at this miracle. They need to be looking at Jesus. Look here, I'm held captive in prison, and all these guys here need Jesus. I wonder what I'll preach to them. Don't worry about what you preach to them. The Holy Ghost shows up. Have you ever had that happen? You're talking, and all of a sudden you're like, how in the world did I get this smart? You're not that smart. It's God. Some of y'all look astonished. I'm not being mean to you. I'm just being honest. I've been there before. I'm sitting there talking, and they're like, man, that's really good. Man, that's smart. That's changed my life. I'm sitting there going, where in the world did that come from? You know what it comes down to? Well, water, and bucket. Well, does that make sense? Well, water, bucket. I got a well, vessel. Amen. I put in this. The bucket is the Holy Spirit. He pulls it out. That makes sense? You're a well. Put the water in, and the Holy Spirit will pull it out when he sees fit. And you'll be sitting there going, man, I didn't even know I knew that. Some of you wonder why your wells dry, because you ain't never put no water in. Amen, preacher? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by whom you crucified, not scared a lick, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Wait a minute. The guy that got healed, they still using him. Are you going to be used? Are you going to, listen, if you're going to get the miracle, are you going to be present to show it off? So many people, I can't even imagine, they get the miracle and they run away. They get the miracle and they don't want to glorify God in it. This guy got it, he got the miracle and he's showing up. Listen, he's everywhere God is. At the temple, down at the jail, down at the courthouse. He could be doing things he's never done in his life. I never got to go here. I never got to go there. But you know where he's at? He's closest to the thing that got him up off the ground. I might be in trouble, but I'm in trouble with God. I was paralyzed. I was on the ground. I might be going to jail. I might get a life sentence, but praise God, it felt good to stand up. Are you seeing it? What are you going to do with that miracle? How is it going to glorify God? Hey, man, think about it. And be honest with yourself. I'm serious. Sometimes we just want a miracle. God, heal that person. What if God's working on that person for their salvation right where they're at? What if we're trying to beg somebody out of God's will? You can't do it. I'll sit there and beg for people to be healed. God, heal them. God, heal them. God's like, I'm not healing them. I'm saving him, his wife, his grandmother, his daughter. If I healed him right now, he'd get up and go back to doing what he was doing. Amen. Hey, so much in this ain't even right. This is the stone. Oh, man. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. He's what he just told him. He said, this is the one you thought you got rid of. Now, ain't that really cool? What he's saying is, you thought you got rid of him. You just put him in place. Golly, y'all need to get that. Y'all run a lap or two if you ever get a hold of that. They sit there and go, oh, you thought you was getting rid of him. You thought you was chunking him out. You wasn't chunking him out. You was setting him in. Golly, y'all, let me go ahead and keep preaching to you then. You didn't put him on the cross. He wanted to go to the cross. You thought you were setting him on the cross. He set himself on the cross. You thought you was getting rid of God. You was spreading him. You thought you was putting him in the ground. He putting him in everybody. Goodness gracious. I wasn't going to get that excited tonight about this message, but man, it can't hardly help yourself when you get in it. Amen? You can't even hardly get in it. You can't, I mean, it's just amazing. Where am I? This is the song, verse 11. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Verse 12. Neither is there, One of the biggest verses in the Bible. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men where we must be saved. Man, Peter's bold right here, ain't he? What's he doing with the miracle? He's telling them there's only one name. You crucified him. You put him in the corner place. Guess what? That name is the only name under heaven where we must be saved. Man, he's wearing them out. Wearing them out with what? The gospel. He puts them fully. I'm about to preach to y'all. You don't even know it. I'm going to sneak up on you with a message right here. He's coming at them and saying, it's totally your fault. You crucified him. You rejected him. You're the one reason he was on the cross. And guess what? He's the only person that can save you. You know who he was preaching to? Us. That's what works today. You put him on the cross. You rejected him. And you rejected him today. And that's the only name where you must be saved. You're running from the only name that can save you. Man, that's bold, ain't it? But the gospel never changes. The miracle got him in the door. The miracle got him in the temple. The miracle got him in the street. The miracle got him in the jail. And miracle got him before all the leaders. Whew, ain't that fun? What are you going to do with a miracle? I'm telling you, sitting there going, hey, God, I want to. Why? Well, you better climb up on the rooftop when you get the miracle. You better get in trouble with the miracle. And then you better share the gospel with the miracle. If you think that's something, guess what about Jesus? And maybe you'll get the miracle. We're wondering why we ain't getting a miracle, because, man, God said, I know what you do with it. You'll be back on the couch. Ooh, sorry. I better be quiet. I get in trouble. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned. I love this. This is big. Verse 13, let's read this again. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, hallelujah for the ignorant men, they marveled. Goodness gracious, help me. And they took knowledge of them and that they had been with Jesus. Y'all, do you ever get the fullness of that verse? Unlearned, ignorant, and they marveled at how dumb they were. But the only thing the marveling thing was they were speaking with such power and such power, they looked at them and they went, my gosh, power and boldness. And they have no learning that we could have gave them, but there they are and they marveled that the only thing that makes them special is they had been with Jesus. That's it. I remember this morning when I was telling you, Jesus picks the weirdest disciples. He picked people that everybody else picked over. He picked over. I want you guys to know we're fishermen, Jesus. I'm sorry. But when we were about 12 years old, there's one of the teachers, one of the rabbis, one of the great rabbis came down, and he picked Saul. But he didn't pick us, and we just started our little fishing business. You don't want that. We're just fishermen. Well, that's good, because I don't want you to be fishermen. I want you to be fishers of men. And see, I don't want to preach a whole nother. I don't want people who believe that there's something. I want people who believe in me. I don't need trophies. I don't need champions. I can make trophies out of the garbage pile. That's where I pick my trophies. Man, ain't that cool how God does it? Yeah. I don't know why I see stuff like this, but I see it clear as day. I see Jesus walk. Man, y'all just hang with me right here. Just y'all ride along with me. I see Jesus walking with his disciples sometimes through Jerusalem and places, and I see all the other rabbis looking. And all the them disciples, they ain't probably even dressed right. They're just walking down through there, smell like fish. You know, one of them was a tax collector, which is pretty much treasonous. And they're all following Jesus. And one of them's a son of the devil. Sorry, had to throw that in there. Just see him walking. And all them rabbis. Who does he think he is? It's just God. Man, golly, y'all just stay with me. Praise God, that's us. That's us. We're following Jesus. Man, we ain't nobodies. Man, they look at us and they go, who do they think they are? I'm just somebody following Jesus. So why'd he pick you? I don't know. As long as I stay behind him, we always seem like we're doing some stuff that nobody else is doing. There's another blind person seeing. There's another deaf person hearing. There's another lame person walking. There's another woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, walking away scot-free and whole and out of her sin. There's another man out of the grave. Hey, there's 5,000 fed. There's 3,000. I don't know anybody else's teachers doing what he's doing. Amen? You killed my teacher, and 3 days later he got up out of the grave. Any of y'all's teacher can do that? A little bit after that, our teacher went to heaven, but sent down the Holy Spirit, and he that was with us is now in us. Anybody else doing any of those teachers doing that? There's a little bit of power in this message, amen? And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Amen. Golly, sometimes with your miracle, you just got to show up. Amen? Sometimes you got to just show up with your miracle. Praise God, if you've been saved, you've been born again, you've been delivered, just show up. Everybody saying, what do you do? I'm here. I was out there, but now I'm in here. Man, y'all get, this guy was laying outside the gate beautiful, begging. Now he's standing there with the representation of God, and everybody just standing there. What are you here for? I can't argue with me. That Peter and them made a great argument in the Holy Ghost. That's good. But they can't argue with me. I ain't been to the doctor. I ain't took one therapy session. I've just been walking around with these guys since I got it. Amen. I wonder if they come down there to visitation after they got them in jail. Hey, guys, what are you doing here? I don't know. Where else could I go? Amen? I just took a little liberty there, but I still see it's pretty good. Verse 15, but when they had commanded them, I love this, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do of these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Live the miracle out that's happening to you so big that people that are important or think they're important are having meetings about you in big rooms. Amen. But that it spread no further. Verse 17. Ain't these guys learned anything? But that it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Hallelujah, let's threaten them. And 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. This probably would have worked before the day of Pentecost. Y'all better not do this anymore. We're going to kick you out of the temple. We're going to kick you out of the synagogue. And we'll beat you. 39 lashes, save one. And your families will be rejected out of the synagogue. You hear me? We ever catch you doing this, it's the end of you. I love that. That's a good threat, right? But see, they walked down there thinking they was going to get in trouble. Amen? They've been with Jesus. Watch this. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Here's the real answer, verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know, all he's saying is, hey, listen, that's a good threat and all. But see, on the day of Pentecost, we receive the Holy Spirit of God. I know you know this, but the Holy Spirit of God is a comforter. Did y'all know that? But he's got another objective. It's to witness. Amen? Oh, no. It's to witness. See, if you really get saved and you really have the Holy Spirit of God in you, you can think that you're not going to do something for God, but guess what? The Holy Spirit of God in you is a witness to Jesus Christ, and he can't keep his mouth shut. Amen? Because Peter and John on the outside of the flesh was probably thinking, you know what? That's a pretty good threat. The Holy Spirit says, not yet. Hey, we seen it and we heard it. We seen it and when he heard it. And if we seen it and we heard it, we gotta share it. I'm sorry, but that's the way it's got to be. Amen? Ain't this exciting? Can I give you some encouragement? This is the beginning of the church that you belong to. This is the beginning of the church that you belong to. Our faith, our church, is rooted in that kind of power. I don't know what happened to us, but that's where we started. I don't know how we got so far off somewhere, but that's who we should be able to boldly stand in America where we got freedom of speech and say, hey, I know what I've seen and I know what I've heard, and I ain't being quiet for nobody. Christians have been quiet for way too long. And that's why we're in the mess we're in. Not old-fashioned this, not old-fashioned, not new this, not new that. Just, hey, I've been with Jesus, and this is wrong, and that's right, and let's get doing that. Well, we'll put you out of school. We'll put you, hey, get on to doing it, because I'm saved. I know that's good talk from the pulpit, but it better be in your hearts. Amen? Whew. Well, now where are we again? 21? All right, good. Thank you. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old in whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and elders had said unto them. And when they heard, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which thou hast made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them is. What are you going to do with the miracle that you want? Are you going to let it take you to places where you can share the gospel? Are you going to use that for an opportunity to glorify God? Will you turn the spotlight on Jesus? And listen, if you are the one who needs the miracle, if you're the one who stands in need of the healing, are you going to be present after the healing is there? And are you going to cling to what saved you and what healed you? Or are you just going to go about your normal business? God, I need you to save me, where I can be a dad outside the church and ministry and everything God's doing. I just need you to heal me, where I can be the wife that's outside the walls of the church, not doing anything for God, not glorifying God. And I'm just going to be the child that's going to grow up and be doing the normal thing. Or are you going to say, hey, God, with this miracle, I'm going to be present and I'm going to cling to you and I'm going to show everybody what this thing's all about. I'm not going to disappear after the miracle. This is a breakdown of a miracle. Sometimes I've preached about miracles. I've done whole series on miracles. I believe in miracles. But I believe there's a purpose in miracles. Amen? And one of the biggest purposes in the miracle is to turn the spotlight on Jesus, to save many people alive, and to use that miracle to project Christ in your life and in the life of others. That person who gets it has to represent it. Amen? That person who gets it needs to be present. Amen? He didn't just save you where you can go back to normal life. What I mean by save is heal. Do the miraculous. Amen? And you say, is this message relevant? I stood in the office this morning and heard the exact same thing from somebody this morning, pretty much. I wanted a miracle at one point in my life and didn't get a miracle. Then I prayed for a miracle later on in life for two things. To see God do it, because I wanted him to know that he could do it, and I wanted to see him be glorified. And guess what? The miracle came. Amen? Are y'all good? Let's all stand.